Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What's up, guys? Don't forget to sub to Patreon so that you can see the visuals. Because not only do we have episodes of the podcast, we have exclusive content that nobody else sees on any other apps, behind the scenes, photo shoots, and we're dropping a whole bunch of surprising stuff this year. So if you guys don't want to miss out and you want to be the first to know, go over to our Patreon, www.dumbblondeunrated.com. Love ya. Is this thing on?
Bonnie, who used to be a former sex worker and now hosts the podcast Dumb Blonde.
Most little girls grow up wanting to be doctors and lawyers and shit. And I was like, I want to be super hot, make a lot of fucking money, and be a rock star's wife. That was my goal as a child. And here we are.
What's up, you sexy motherfuckers? Welcome to another episode of Dumb Blonde. We are not in the new studio yet. I can't talk. We are not in the new studio yet, but we will be. So we are sitting at my dining room table, and we are going to do, I guess we could kind of call this a deep dive on Gypsy Rose Blanchard. Mm-hmm. I have my striking young lads over here. Mimi.
Haley. I thought you were talking about Chachi.
I thought she was talking about Chachi.
No. Ladettes. Mm-hmm. I have my striking young ladettes here. How are you guys doing?
You're doing great.
So I'm good.
I'm hungry.
Dude, you guys, we ordered food forever ago, and the time keeps going up, and I feel, we call this getting schlotskied, because Jay and I,
listen, yeah, I was going to say, I know.
No, me and Jay do, because there was one time that Jay was so hungry, and he has never ordered from Schlotsky's ever, right?
Oh, it's a real place?
Oh, it's a real place. And he ordered a fucking sandwich from Schlotsky's, and I'm telling you, he ordered at like 7. At 11:30, they were supposed to be bringing it. It was probably 11. At 11, they were supposed to be bringing it. The fucking restaurant closed, and he never got a sandwich.
Never got the sandwich.
So we call it getting schlotskied, because they just keep moving the time up and up and up.
Oh, tragic.
After 4 hours. Literally.
That happened to me in New York, you guys, when I went back up to my hotel room. Ugh. When we were walking, we were down by St. Patrick's Cathedral. We ordered it, and I wanted like a little dessert to mm-hmm. get delivered. And I was like, by the time we walk all the way back to Times Square, it should be delivered, right? His food got delivered, and mine, as the guy showed up, canceled the fucking order.
No, that is the worst. I feel like they should fucking have to pay for that.
It's awful.
Like, that is like emotional distress.
That's what I would like.
Especially when you've been waiting like an hour or two.
And you want something. You have like a taste in your mouth or something.
I just wanted it. It looks so good.
Yeah. Speaking of Times Square, we just rang in the new year.
Ring-a-ding-ding.
Ring-a-ding-ding. We fucking had our New Year's kiss under the ball dropping in Times Square with Bailey with us and LL Cool J and Ryan Seacrest. That shit was crazy.
Crazy.
Like, so Taylor. Nuts.
Yeah.
You guys, did you guys full on tongue?
No. It was a little peck.
For the New York New Year. The Nashville New Year.
It was in the airport.
You guys are pretend gay.
Yeah.
Andy, how does that make you feel? Because Andy's real gay. I always give them a hard time. I'm like, would you eat a muffin? They're always like, no. Would you eat a muff? Yeah, baby. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, but it was just magical. And it
really was a very magical moment. The moment I looked up and saw the confetti coming down, I will be honest, everyone, I cried like a little bitch.
I cried once. I didn't
really cry then. But then on Instagram is when I found out that the confetti was hand thrown. Mm-hmm. And that's when I cried because it was just so cute. Yeah,
this one panicked over here.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got people throwing shit on you from fucking ups, you know, you don't even know where it's coming from.
Well, some have writing on them too, so which means they were like manhandled.
Let's not freak her out.
No, I know. Listen, right. I had to block it out. So anyways, we ordered food a while ago and the time just keeps going up and up and up. And just a minute ago, it was at 6:55. Then it went up to 7:10. Then it went up to 7:15.
Tell them I'm going to go. I'm going to cry.
And now...
I always message.
It's at 7:35.
No.
I swear to God.
Message the guy and be like, what the fuck is happening?
Nobody's It says preparing your order.
Oh, they haven't even finished the... They haven't even done the wrapping up?
No.
Should I call them?
Mine doesn't do the wrapping up.
Call so
pause.
While we wait, let's dive into the icon of the month right now. Like Gypsy Rose is really getting a lot of attention. And I could listen to her talk forever. I love her voice. I love her voice. Mm-hmm. They do say that when girls have trauma at such a young age, their voices get stuck like that and high-pitched. I used to have a friend named Katie who had a really high-pitched voice like that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They almost still sound like little girls.
Yeah. It's like harboring that little part that you didn't get in your life.
Yeah. She has so much trauma, dude.
It's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
It's weird how like kind of normal, I feel like, she is right now with what she freaking went through.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely a lot to take on. And I started watching her Lifetime episodes last night. Her dad's not a bad looking dude.
She must be on some type of like publicist run, or her publicist got her like doing the rounds, because there are so many interviews. We've got Lifetime, we've got ABC, we've got NBC, like all of the things are just coming for her, and I don't know how she's able to keep that composure so well. I'm wondering if someone was training her in jail before she got out, because she is so well spoken.
I think probably working with somebody training her, but also when you come from such traumatic shit like that, you learn to have calm in the chaos. So
true. Very true.
I really think, you know, and not to mention she spent a lot of time in hospitals. She spent a lot of time around people who talked, you know.
Yeah, and she wasn't not all there. So, like, she was able to comprehend everything they were saying.
Yeah. So
it's crazy to me. She knows exactly what to say when she's asked. Watching that, I think it was ABC, I believe, did a interview with her. And they asked some really like interesting questions that I feel like they were trying to slip her up almost and get her to say something. And her responses were so well like articulated that it really impressed me.
Well, she's had 8 years to sit in there and think of what she's going to say too. That's, you know, wild. And I mean, I believe everything about her story. I think even down to the grandpa molesting her, that was in the first two episodes of her thing that dropped last night, the Lifetime thing. And you know, the grandpa denied it. And I'm just like, this little girl's been through so much. She's not little anymore, but this girl has been through so much that it's like, why her grandpa molesting her is like the least of her worries. And I'm not downplaying her trauma. Absolutely I'm not. Just saying this girl's had her teeth ripped out of her head because of her mom, like crazy shit, you know? So I don't think her saying, hey, my girl. And the weirdest thing was, did you guys watch any of the episodes?
A little bit of it, yeah. Mm-mm.
The grandpa, whenever they said this to him, was completely guilty. He sat there and looked at him and was like, no, I never touched her. She used to try to touch me when she was 4 years old. Yeah. Like, ew, bro. Yeah,
why
like,
would you say that?
Like, even
and this is the grandpa of the mom. So, like, that already tells me the mom was already sick in the fucking head.
Well, yeah. I think got the mom, it from someone. Yeah, I think maybe he did it to the mom and then.
Oh, most definitely.
You never know.
Gypsy said she did try to talk to her grandpa about it, or her mom about it, and the mom like started like blaming herself and crying and all this stuff. And Gypsy said she just kind of shut down because, of course, her mom was making it all about her.
Of course,
it wasn't about her child's trauma. You know, it had to go. It had to be about her. Mm-hmm. So, well, let's dive in. Let's start talking about it.
Yeah,
this story's crazy, man. And I really feel like she deserves everything she's getting right now.
Yeah. Talking about being a sensation, Gypsy Rose has come out of jail and overnight has gained 7.4 million followers on social media.
I think her first selfie was
across
epic.
All socials.
No, just TikTok.
Okay, I was gonna say. I think I'm gonna go look at her TikTok
her first
right now.
Selfie.
I've never seen somebody's. Epic. I know. I've never seen somebody's TikTok grow this fast.
They already have it verified.
Yeah, like it's crazy. Her team works hard. That's for sure.
They put in
8 million. She's at 8 million.
So since last night when I typed in the 7.4,
she's
has
still 7.4 on. Instagram.
On Instagram. Okay, so since last night, she has jumped to the 8 million.
Yeah.
Because she has become more active on TikTok also.
Yeah.
And, you know, came out of the gates just selfied up, looking amazing.
Married.
Like,
she's so cute, right?
Adorable.
She looks like a cute little possum. Don't you think? Like, just the cutest, like, little, just, you want to just kiss her little face?
Her little eyes are adorable.
Is
I love
she
it.
Not
and
adorable?
She's not, and, like, I don't know why, I guess I thought she was younger than she is, but she's not.
She looks young. Her skin's
she
gorgeous.
She looks young.
How old is she?
She's 31.
31.
Okay.
Like yeah, that prison younger. Fucking skincare routine.
Whatever she was
her.
Doing, amazing.
Well, they're not wearing makeup and stuff too, so I feel like that probably fucking helps.
So to start this off, if you guys don't know who she is, or if you're living under a rock and have never heard this story before, we're gonna go ahead and give you the full breakdown, starting all the way back to her mother, Dee Dee.
Good old Dee Dee.
You want to get us started?
Dee Dee Blanchard was born Claudine Petrie in Louisiana near the Gulf Coast in 1967 and grew up with her family in nearby Golden Meadow. She was one of the five children of Claude Anthony Petrie Sr., that's Gramps, right? And Emma Louise Gisclare. And they are so Cajun, dude.
Very Cajun.
So Cajun. Is that what they're called? Cajun? Mm-hmm. Right? Isn't that? Because they talk with that that Louisiana.
Thick. Cajun accent.
You know, you can't understand
it's
them.
It's like French.
It's crazy.
Cajun is actually French. Fun fact, everyone.
It's that's French for trash.
Can we talk about your moment?
No.
But they have a very strong accent. And five kids, so she's one of five. Did you say that? Yep, one of five. Relatives
I feel like
recalled
she was a middle child.
Yeah, relatives recalled that she had a habit of stealing from her family, which they speculated was a form of retaliation when things didn't go her way. At some point early in her adult life, she worked as a nurse's aide. The family expressed suspicion that in 1997 she might have killed her own mother by denying her food. So she starved her own mother.
I also read that she was like slowly poisoning her too.
Oh, so
Dee
like
Dee was?
Her mom?
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I don't know what
wet your whistle.
I'm trying to. The fucking Uber Eats driver just messaged me. Said it's going to be about 25 minutes. Do we want them to wait?
We've already been
take
waiting.
Just as long to get anything else.
I was going
to
say, yeah. It'll take.
Tell them to throw in some free breadsticks.
So how was she withholding food from her mom?
She was a nurse's
aide. She was
the
nurse's aide for her mom.
So it's probably her responsibility to do such things as like feeding and taking care
of. I wonder if she did it to anyone else too. Like I wonder if she was at aide for anyone else and would
also. Dee Dee had to be sick in the mind to do what she did to her daughter, let alone to everyone else. So, I mean, to put a woman like that in care of anyone is just disheartening.
What weirds me out is it says the family expressed suspicion that in 1997 she might have killed her own mother by denying her food.
Yeah.
Yet you guys were fine with her having a child and doing this to her.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys suspected that she killed somebody.
I feel like.
Like, what's wrong with this family?
This has to be within the genes. This can't. Like, it's in your.
This
pool.
Is in the DNA, motherfuckers.
Someone peed in your gene pool.
Yeah, literally. No, this is more than piss. This is somebody took a big old caduca.
Nine inch turd.
Not fell from the butthole into these genes.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And that's G E N E S. Genes.
I don't even know how you just spelled that.
I'm so hungry. I fucking
take
almost
it away.
Yeah,
take it away.
Take it away. Yeah.
Well, when she was 24, she became pregnant by Rod Blanchard, then 17.
What?
Sounds not legal.
Wait.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
they said that in the Lifetime thing.
She was 24.
He was
well,
17.
She lied. She lied about her age to him. That's what he said.
Wow.
Oh, Rod. And God. Rod's a good looking dude.
He's not bad looking.
I need a picture of Rob.
Mm. Rod.
Rod. I don't think I've seen him. Look
on her social media. She put up like a family picture together.
Oh, I was on her selfie that has 6.5 million likes per.
Are you kidding
That's
me?
Her dad.
Yeah.
What?
That's what I said. That's what I said. What? I'm like, I'm not understanding how him and fucking old Deidre.
I wonder if they were in a relationship.
She was pretty.
Yeah.
For like a year.
I wonder if they were in a relationship though, or if it was like a one night stand type of thing.
Well, he said that they got married after she got pregnant within like 3 months. And after a year of them being together, he told her like, hey dude, I don't want to be in this anymore.
Yeah, they broke up before Gypsy was even born.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the mom always blamed her and said that your dad left me because you weren't the son that he wanted. No. Yeah. That's fucked up to do to a child, man. How do you say that to a child? Like, that's so fucking weird.
That's awful.
But like, give it up. If you don't want the child, give it up for adoption, man. Literally. Like, yeah. I don't know. I feel like she kind of saw her ticket though.
Oh, for sure. And a way to control him.
Yeah.
For sure. Because she was very crazy about their relationship. She wouldn't let them have a relationship together.
They named their daughter Gypsy Rose because Dee Dee liked the name Gypsy and Rod was a fan of Guns N' Roses. Shortly before Gypsy's birth in July of 1991, the couple separated when Rod realized he got married for the wrong reasons. He resisted Dee Dee's efforts to get him to return, and she took her newborn daughter to live with her family. Gypsy often went with her parents to Special Olympics events. In 2001, when Dee Dee claimed Gypsy was 8, she was actually 10, she was named the honorary queen of the Crew of Mid-City, a child-oriented parade held during Mardi Gras in New Orleans.
It's so weird that she just wanted her kid to be younger than she was. Like, she's still a child. 10 years old is not grown.
Yeah, that's not that much older.
Yeah, it's so weird.
I feel like something happened to Dee Dee when she was really young, and I know that we had kind of touched on that before, but, she was trying to, like, hold on to that adolescence with everything that she had.
Well, I think the younger she was, too, the more perks she got. It seemed like, She seems very conniving.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if we know Gypsy's real age, if her birth certificate was actually destroyed.
She forged her birth certificate.
Oh. Weird.
That'll do it.
Yeah. Gypsy seems to have stopped going to school after second grade, possibly even as early as kindergarten. Her mother homeschooled her after that, supposedly because her illnesses were so severe. This was later believed to have been an attempt to isolate Gypsy to further her abuse.
Wow.
Gypsy's father had remarried, and Dee Dee moved in with her father and stepmother. They later said that when preparing food for her stepmother, Dee Dee poisoned it with Roundup weed killer, leading to the stepmother's chronic illness during this period. During that time, Dee Dee was arrested for several minor offenses, including writing bad checks. When the Petries began to regularly confront her about her treatment of Gypsy and express suspicion about her role in her stepmother's health, Dee Dee left with Gypsy for the New Orleans suburb of, I think it's Slidell? How do I pronounce that? Slidell. Her stepmother's health returned to normal shortly after. Why didn't they test her blood?
But, like, why was she living with them?
Like, she couldn't afford to go anywhere else. Yeah.
Like, and you're just, that's awful.
But also, if you're feeling sick eating this food, why don't you stop eating this food? But they even said, I even saw, like, when she wasn't around and she wasn't eating their food, she would feel better. So I'm just like, how do you not catch on to that?
I mean, you have to
Let me eat something and get sick one time from somebody. I'm never eating them again.
She doesn't.
I won't eat from anybody anyways. But, like, that's just insane to me that.
She just kept doing it.
That they
her
just
mom than her.
They're like, hey, are you poisoning her? You know, and like letting her fucking lie her way out of it, and then continuing to let her cook for this woman.
I don't feel like. I don't know. They had to be sick in their own heads because there's no way that you just oblivious. Maybe that's what it is.
No, they're not oblivious. They knew it was going on. Oblivious would mean that they weren't paying attention or that they didn't know what was going on. They knew what was going
on.
That's
awful.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did.
You let her leave with this child.
Yeah.
Crazy. In
Slidell.
In Slidell, she and Gypsy lived in public housing. They paid their bills with Rod's child support support payments and public assistance Dee Dee had been granted due to her daughter's supposed medical conditions. So I'm wondering, she must have been making these up when Gypsy was young, because it says she left while she was a newborn, and she's over here getting public assistance already while she's a newborn. They saw various specialists, mostly at the, how would you guys say that? Tulane. Mostly at the Tulane Medical Center and the Children's Hospital of New Orleans. Seeking treatment for the illness, Dee Dee claims Gypsy had, which now includes hearing and vision problems. With a muscle biopsy, found no signs of the muscular dystrophy.
Dystrophy.
I can't see straight. I'm hungry. Same. Found no signs of muscular dystrophy. Dee Dee insisted Gypsy had. She had successfully secured treatment for Gypsy's other issues. After she told doctors Gypsy had seizures every few months, they prescribed anti-seizure medication. Don't you have to have proof for seizures?
How? So back then, like,
I'm confused.
Back then, I don't think they had the technology that we have now. Like, they didn't do sleep studies. Because
I was
going
to say, when Kayla had hers, didn't she have to have, like...
You have to do a sleep study.
Well,
and stuff.
There's a thing with seizures, and, you know, this is what I've been told. I'm not 100% positive. So anybody out there, if you have seizures, you know, please take this with a grain of salt. But one of the doctors did tell Kayla that in order to be diagnosed with a seizure problem, you have to have more than one.
Correct. I do remember her saying that is you like can't, you can't be considered epileptic unless you have more than one seizure.
Yes. Mm. Which is scary.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
like, let's just risk it. Oh my gosh. Okay.
So I don't know how, if they were like faking it, if she was making Gypsy fake them or what.
It says that she had several surgeries were performed on her during this time. Dee Dee regularly took Gypsy to the emergency room
for minor ailments.
That's minor ailments.
What if she maybe did?
Gypsy had said in the special, she said that she would do anything for her mom because she just wanted to feel loved. Mm-hmm. And if she didn't feel loved, if she didn't do what her mom wanted her to do, her mom would make sure that she didn't feel loved and would like love on the cat and like pet the cat and like love on the cat and then look at her. Mm-hmm. You know,
but like as a newborn. She doesn't know to do that. So she's like, what if she actually had problems as a newborn, like for real? But then Dee Dee saw that she could get money from that and she just kept it going.
She did.
I feel like maybe that's what
she
happened.
Had an eye problem. She had an extremely lazy eye. And I think that's what she noticed.
Yeah,
because
in the beginning they said something about vision issues.
That and I heard she had like breathing problems or something like that. Mm. And that's where the sleep apnea.
I don't
came
believe
in.
The breathing problems. Mm-hmm. I think the mom was causing that. But the eye for sure. Something, you know, she was born with
most
the lazy eye.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
You know, I feel like in the 90s too, there also wasn't a whole lot of testing, like you're saying, for seizures and things like that. So at that time, she could have almost made up wherever. And especially since you hear so often, she definitely doctor shopped. And it even says it in here, like what we were just discussing. that if she didn't get her answer from one doctor, it did not stop her. She was going to walk-in clinics. She was going to different doctors and different specialists and different hospitals.
Yeah.
And back then, we didn't have the technology we have now. Exactly.
All the hospitals talked to each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you could have just shopped anyone in this time.
And that, because people back in the day, whenever I used to pop pills, they would doctor shop to get multiple pills before laws were passed. Oh, yeah. Dude, I used to make so much money selling Lortabs, dude. Right. I'd go to one doctor, get a script for like $120, go to another doctor, and I would sell them for $4 or $5 a pill.
Wow.
Sometimes $6 a pill.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It was nuts. That was back in the old days.
Damn. Where did you leave off?
Here, the second page.
Okay. After Hurricane Katrina devastated the area in August 2005, Dee Dee and Gypsy left their ruined apartment for a shelter in Covington set up for people with special needs. Dee Dee said Gypsy's medical records, including her birth certificate, had been destroyed in the flooding. Mm-hmm. Convenient. A doctor there from the Ozarks suggested they relocate her to Missouri, and the next month they were airlifted there. That's where I was born.
So awesome. They're skipping ahead a lot in this article right here. So her dad was trying really hard to be a part of her life, and her dad had already remarried. And I love her stepmom. Her stepmom's a dope bitch. You can just tell in her demeanor, the way she carries herself, like love everything about her. I was just like, okay, you know, like this is a good woman. And her stepmother was talking like, hey, we have tried to have a relationship with her. Dee Dee had taken Gypsy and completely hidden her. They didn't know thought they died in the Hurricane Katrina.
Did the dad get with this stepmom shortly after?
Since she was 5 months old or something like
that. Gotcha. So immediately he pretty much divorced her.
Yeah.
And goes and is with the same person.
And she's a good looking woman. Yeah. You can tell.
Like, yeah.
Because it was so crazy. Because I was like,
he's good looking.
I was like, that's her dad. Because I didn't expect that. And I was like, not that I think he's hot or anything, but I was just like, for Dee Dee, like it just was a mismatched pair.
Yeah.
And then I saw the stepmom and I was like, okay, that'll do it. You know, like I understand. That makes sense. Yeah. Like that's more his speed. They were trying to do that. And then this is the time when her mom started discovering that she could get like money and stuff.
Yeah.
For Dee Dee being sick.
Yep.
And then that's how she had them airlifted, was this whole like charity.
Yeah, so they're saying that she's special needs at this point. Right. So, like, at this, is this turning
saying
point?
Saying she has cancer.
Have they already gone to cancer? I feel like we're on, like, the verge of cancer.
No, this is right where she's saying she has cancer. Her head was already shaved. So, I think she was already telling people she had leukemia is what she was telling people. God. But, yeah, here, we'll
She regularly shaved her head.
At first, Dee Dee and Gypsy lived in a rented home in Aurora in southwestern Missouri. During their time there, Gypsy was honored by the Olay Foundation, which advocates for the rights of feeding tube recipients. This made me so sick to my stomach when I saw it.
Yeah. Oh, it's awful.
Yeah, just so crazy. As its 2007 Child of the Year, in 2008, Habitat for Humanity built them a small home with a wheelchair ramp and hot tub as part of the larger project on the north side of Springfield to the east, and the two moved there. The story of a single mother with a severely disabled daughter forced to flee Katrina's devastation received considerable local media attention, and the community often pitched in to help the woman, who now went by Claudine Blancharde, or however they
I forgot how they pronounce it.
It was like Blanchard or some shit like that. Man. She had changed her name. Dee Dee had changed her name, and whom they knew is Dee Dee. This time she's already telling people that she has
this
cancer.
Is now her like fresh start.
No.
You know, there's like no social media, but pre-Katrina. Mm-hmm. So her Katrina is like her turning point. Mm-hmm. And Blanchard is now starting fresh. So no one's gonna question her daughter.
No.
Yeah.
At all. Mm.
Well, especially if you're regularly shaving her head.
Yeah.
You're not gonna be like, oh, that's fake.
Yeah. And then, you know, I mean,
her teeth were coming out. She had her fucking saliva glands removed. Did you know that?
That's
had her own daughter's saliva glands removed. So which made me think, like, can she like does
are
her
you
mouth
about slobbing on the knob?
I was That's going
I
to
like I knew you were going that direction.
I was going to, but I switched it up because I didn't want to be disrespectful. But I does her mouth get moist is the question. Because if her salivary glands are gone, how does she wet her whistle?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, eating has to be an issue.
Yeah.
Most definitely. Yeah. I'm also wondering in all of this. This is horrific. That in, you almost won't think that Gypsy believed it. If you're raised your entire life being told the sky is red, you have no idea it's blue. You know what I mean?
She didn't believe it because she even says it in the interview. She knew that she was okay because, like, when her mom wasn't around, she would eat with everybody else. She would go jump on trampolines.
But that's what I want to know. At what point did she have that, like, light switch?
Her entire life, she knew that she wasn't wrong. She said that.
God. I feel like maybe when she was younger, but I think maybe when she got... Yeah, that's
what I'm wondering, like, enough, consciousness, like, of it, of, like...
Real young. Yeah. She had no idea. That's old, like, wild. Like, probably, like, not toddler. What was
probably
that
like
called?
Like, five, you start realizing, yeah, hey, like, mom, six, I can get up and walk. Why am I in this wheelchair? But she said she did it to just,
because,
like,
she wanted the love of her mom.
The love from her mom, yeah.
That's
which makes me so sad, because in these interviews, you can see that she wants to cry talking about her mom. And that's why I really actually love Gypsy now, because you can see how much remorse she has.
She still defends her mom a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, when asked about her mom in that interview that I watched, she still has her mom's back in a lot of this, which, I mean, you have to be trauma bonded to someone like this.
For sure. Soul tie of some
sort.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Rough. If anybody wants to know, our food is not on the way. Just want to let you guys know that. But we do have a fucking Uber Eats guy there. So many people who met Gypsy were charmed by her 5 foot height, nearly toothless mouth, large glasses, and high childlike voice reinforced the perception that she had all the problems her mother claimed she did. Dee Dee regularly shaved Gypsy's head to mimic the hairless appearance of a chemotherapy patient, allegedly telling Gypsy that since her medication would eventually cause her hair to fall out, it was best to shave it in advance. Gypsy often wore wigs or hats to cover her baldness. When they left the house, Dee Dee took an oxygen tank and feeding tube with them. Gypsy was fed the children's liquid nutrition supplement Pediasure well into her 20s.
Jesus Christ.
Bro, that can't be good for mental. No. Like, it's very shocking that Gypsy is so
well-rounded,
smart and rounded and, like, normal, having the fact that you lived off of Pediasure.
Into your 20s. That's not that long ago.
That can't be healthy.
No, that's... No wonder she wanted to kill her mom.
I mean, she felt...
I saw, she said that her first day in prison, she was happy.
Mm-hmm.
She felt free. She said she walked out into the courtyard and fucking was so happy because
it was like a breath of fresh air.
It was a breath of fresh air.
Fucking sad.
Like, that's sad. You're in prison and your first thought is, holy shit, I'm free.
Yeah.
I honestly believe a lot of people commit crimes and stuff to go to prison.
Yeah.
Like, to be free, like,
to get out of situations.
Abuse.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. I agree with that too.
Dee Dee used physical abuse to control Gypsy. Oh, she was beating her too?
Physical and emotional, yeah.
Always holding her hand in the presence of others. When Gypsy said something that suggested she was not genuinely sick or seemed beyond her purported mental capacity, Gypsy recalls that her mother would squeeze her hand very tightly. When the two were alone, Dee Dee struck her with an open hand or a coat hanger.
Yeah. Lady sounds like fucking Mommy Dearest.
That's fucking wild.
Yeah.
Medical interventions continued. Dee Dee had some of Gypsy's saliva glands treated with Botox, then extracted altogether to control her purported drooling. Gypsy later claimed her mother induced drooling by using a topical anesthetic to numb her gums before doctor visits. The lack of salivary glands, coupled with side effects of the anti-seizure medication she was given, caused Gypsy's already few teeth to decay to the point that the majority of her front teeth were extracted and replaced by a bridge. Tubes were implanted in her ears to control her myriad purported ear infections.
What?
God. Botox That's in your saliva glands?
Absolutely wild.
Ow.
And to have those tubes implanted in her ears is crazy, because as a child, I suffered from severe earaches and they wanted to put tubes in my ears and my parents said no, but like to fake having severe ear infections? Like, how did she do that? She probably had to cause trauma to Gypsy's ears.
Well, I mean, if she's hitting her, I'm wondering if that, like...
Or putting something in there to make the she had to have inflamed.
Yeah. Oh, how sad.
Yeah.
That's
and there's probably stuff okay, we don't even know say, about.
Though, like, babies can... That could have been one of... It's hard to tell what's true or not, right. Because, like, my kids have multiple... Yeah. Ear infections a year, you know, it could have been teething, it could have been like all these different things that could be causing that.
Yeah, but how old was she here?
She really forced those things. Like, if I wanted to, my kid had two ear infections this past year, I could be like, put tubes in his ears. But like, in reality, if there's no medical records being shared, she could have literally gone to someone and be like, she's had five ear infections, put tubes in.
Yeah.
And in reality, it could have been like one.
Right.
That's so wild. God.
I couldn't imagine being this fucking weird, dude. Fernando Flasterstein, we saw him on the interview last night, a pediatrician neurologist who saw Gypsy in Springfield became suspicious of her muscular dystrophy diagnosis. He ordered MRIs and blood tests, which found no abnormalities. I don't see any reason why she doesn't walk, he told Dee Dee on a follow-up visit after seeing Gypsy stand and support her own weight. Flasterstein noted that Dee Dee was not a good historian. After contacting Gypsy's doctors in New Orleans, he learned that Gypsy's original muscle biopsy had come back negative, undermining Dee Dee's reported diagnosis of muscular dystrophy as well as her claim that all Gypsy's records had been destroyed by flooding. He suspected the possibility of Munchausen syndrome by proxy. Mm. Dee Dee contrived to gain access to Flasterstein's notes and subsequently stopped taking Gypsy to see him.
Mm. Dang.
They were on to her.
They were on to her, bro.
Yeah. I just don't understand. Like, he said in the interview last night, because they were like, well, if you suspected this, why did you not do anything about it? Yeah. He said, you can't call CPS without having proof. And it's like, how much more fucking proof did you need?
What other proof do you need to literally be like, yo?
She's had multiple surgeries. That was the proof. Her head is shaved. She's in a wheelchair. Salivary glands removed. Teeth out of her head.
Like, what the hell?
Yeah. Like, just she... I really feel like these doctors failed her.
They dropped the ball wholeheartedly. Yeah,
so bad. And for them to even go on the show and still defend their actions is crazy. Like, somebody needs to be like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I didn't want to get involved.
Yes.
Then I could respect it a lot more.
And like, now, if had this happened nowadays, they will call CPS literally in a heartbeat. Over anything.
People call CPS on people all the time.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Like, you didn't have so... Like, that's just really sad. I feel like the system failed Gypsy in this.
No, for sure.
Reporting Dee Dee to social services.
Social services. He said other doctors had told him to treat the pair with golden gloves and doubted the authorities would believe him anyways. In 2009, an anonymous caller told the police about Dee Dee's use of different names and birth dates for herself and her daughter and suggested Gypsy was in better health than claimed. Officers who performed the resulting wellness check accepted Dee Dee's explanation that she used the misinformation to make it harder for her abusive ex-husband to find her and Gypsy without talking to Rod, and reported that Gypsy seemed genuinely mentally disabled. The file was closed. So those people also should say sorry.
They also failed her.
Everyone failed.
God. Yeah, it reminds me of that one story. I forget who it was, but the kid like kept going into the system, was getting beat by his parent. Gabriel
Hernandez?
Is that it?
Yeah, that was so sad.
Yeah, and then the little boy
They kept him locked in like a cabinet.
Yeah.
What?
Why do you have kids to do this to them? I feel like the people who don't deserve children have them.
Yes.
It's just crazy.
Right, let me add this.
Dee Dee seems to have at least once forged a copy of Gypsy's birth certificate, changing her birth date to 1995 to claims that she was still a teenager. Gypsy said in a later interview that for 14 years, she was not sure of her real age.
How sad.
God. She sometimes also claimed that the original had been destroyed during the post-Katrina flooding. Dee Dee did keep another copy with Gypsy's real birth date. Gypsy recalls seeing it during one of their hospital visits and becoming confused. Dee Dee told her it was a misprint.
Since 2001, Gypsy had attended science fiction and fantasy conventions, sometimes in costumes, since she could blend into their diverse and exclusive and inclusive communities in her wheelchair. At a 2011 event, she made what may have been an escape attempt that ended when her mother found her in a hotel room with a man she had met online. Again, Dee Dee produced the paperwork giving Gypsy's false younger birth date and threatened to inform the police. Gypsy recalls that afterward, Dee Dee smashed her computer with a hammer and threatened to do the same to her fingers if she ever tried to escape again. She also kept Gypsy leashed and handcuffed to her bed for 2 weeks. Dee Dee later told Gypsy that she had filed paperwork with the police claiming that Gypsy was mentally incompetent, leading Gypsy to believe that if she attempted to go to the police for help, they would not believe her.
That sucks. But it also reminds me of, like, didn't she lie to Gypsy's dad about her age, too?
Yeah. So it's like, no fun when the rabbit's got the gun.
Right.
Yeah. That's so scary. Sometime around 2012... So, like, let me just, like, timeline this. So, now we're in, like, 2012.
Like, I was a junior in high school, and this was going on, and a that's crazy.
I was 22.
Okay. Sometime around 2012.
You were 22 when I was a junior in high school?
Let me think.
No.
No.
32? Yep, 32. I don't even know.
She said, I don't even know.
I was like, I know it was 6 years apart.
I know it's fun to the twos.
Gypsy, who continued to use the internet after her mother had gone to bed to avoid her tightened supervision, made contact online with Nicholas Gojan, a man around her age from Big Bend, Wisconsin, whom she said she had met on a Christian singles website. Christian Mingle. Yeah. He had a criminal record for indecent exposure and a history of mental illness, sometimes reported as dissociative identity disorder. He had also been autistic.
So we're gonna hop back into this. In 2014, Gypsy confided to 23-year-old neighbor Aaliyah Woodmansey, who, unaware that Gypsy was closer to her own age, considered herself a big sister. She confided that she and Gojan had discussed eloping and had even chosen names for potential children. Gypsy, who had 5 separate Facebook accounts, and Gojin flirted online. Their exchange is sometimes using BDSM elements, which Gypsy has since claimed was more what he was interested in. Woodmansey tried to talk her out of it, still thinking Gypsy was too young and possibly being taken advantage of by a sexual predator. She considered Gypsy's plans just fantasies and dreams, and nothing like this would ever really take place. Despite Dee Dee's efforts to prevent her from using the internet, which went on as far as destroying her daughter's phone and laptop, Gypsy maintained contact with Woodmansey, who saved printouts of her posts until 2014.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So in 2014, we've already got, like, super smartphones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's FaceTime, even, at this point. Like, you're fully technologically aware.
But here's the thing. She's 24. Like, she's about to start bucking. You know, like, she's like, I'm ready to rock. I want to get the fuck out of here. I want to have kids with this dude. Like, poor baby had to have, like, an online fantasy
life. Imagine what he told her. I would love to see the transcripts between them. But imagine what he's, like, opening her eyes to that she had no idea about.
Yeah.
And then not only that, your first sexual, like, encounters with this person is to talk, like, in a BDSM way. Like, she doesn't know,
like,
that,
abusive,
like,
almost. So literally, she might think going, that's good.
It's normal or something.
God.
Insane. The next year, Gypsy arranged and also paid for Goodman to meet her mother in Springfield. Her plan was for him to just casually bump into her while she and Dee Dee were at the movie theater, both of them in costume, and apparently strike up a relationship that way. And then later for her to introduce him to her mother. As soon as they did meet in person for the first time, he said Gypsy led him to the bathroom where the two of them had sex.
So she obviously wasn't a virgin, which would corroborate her stories about her grandfather, unless there was some other dick she got somewhere along the line.
What do you mean she wasn't a virgin?
If she's just taking this dude in the bathroom and they're banging and she's a virgin, like, I seriously doubt that.
That's, I mean, she.
Well, that's why we need Gypsy on the podcast.
I know.
Gypsy, come on. They said that the two had continued their internet interactions and began developing their plan to off Dee Dee.
You ready? Fuck Dee Dee.
Murder.
Gojon returned to Springfield in June of 2015, arriving while Gypsy and her mother were away at a doctor's appointment. After they had returned home and Dee Dee had gone to sleep, he went to the Blanchard house. Gypsy let him in and allegedly gave him duct tape, gloves, and a knife with the understanding that he would use it to murder Dee Dee.
He's kind of on the spectrum, isn't he? Or
that's
no?
What I said. He's autistic.
Yeah, he is. So I mean,
I almost feel like, do you guys feel like this? Because I kind of feel like she may have manipulated him into getting her out of the situation she was within. Knowing that she kind of had that control over him. I mean, she's fucking smart, you guys.
Yeah.
You know, and she has proven that time and time again. This Gypsy is really smart. And to me, I feel like maybe she was like, this is my ticket out.
I feel like maybe she told him everything and he maybe was like, you got to kill her.
Yeah, like the only way out is to kill her.
Yeah, because I feel like because she loved her so much, she might not have come up with the idea.
I mean, yeah, that is true. I will take that into consideration because she still to this day, like,
if she, yeah,
she does like withhold a standing with her mom.
I mean,
mom.
We'll probably never know.
No,
truly.
Of course not.
But I feel like it might have been him because he knew that that Dee Dee was probably going to get in the way of their relationship.
True.
So,
yeah, I don't know. I think that maybe even if she did, you know, manipulate him, I think it just came naturally to her because you can't deny DNA, you know, so she has a part of her mom in her.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she is very good at manipulating, you know. Mm-hmm. It just matters if she's able to recognize that now.
True.
Like, you know, without even trying, without even being conscious that she's doing it, because that's so ingrained in her.
Yeah. Which maybe her mom also had no, like, was the same way.
Mm. Yeah, it goes back to whatever happened to Dee Dee when she was younger, And her grandpa, or her dad, doesn't seem fucking like a stand-up
so
guy.
So I want to know his childhood, too.
You know, I feel like you preach this often, Bunny, and it's very interesting to me because I never thought of it in this way, is like our parents are literally like surviving with trauma they never healed.
Yeah.
And it was our responsibility to then heal that. Break that, be the cycle breakers in all of this. And you see so often where those cycles are not broken, and I feel like this is a perfect example of that it took until Gypsy to be that cycle breaker.
Nope, I understand that. Gypsy hid in the bathroom and covered her ears so that she would not have to hear her mother screaming. Nicholas then stabbed Dee Dee 17 times in her back while she was asleep. That's overkill. That's somebody who hates you.
Mm-hmm. That is rage killing.
Yeah. Afterward, the two had sex in Gypsy's room and took $4,000 in cash that Dee Dee had been keeping in the house, mostly from Rod's child support checks. They fled to a motel outside of Springfield where they stayed a few days while planning their next move. During that time, they were seen on security cameras at several stores. Gypsy said at that point she believed the two had gotten away with their crime.
They mailed the murder weapon back to Nicholas's home in Wisconsin to avoid being caught with it.
Why not throw it in the fucking river?
That's the worst way.
That's the worst.
To get rid of it.
Like, just going to like time stamp myself.
God.
And then took a bus there. Several witnesses who saw the pair on their way to the Greyhound station noted that Gypsy wore a blonde wig and walked unassisted.
Isn't it crazy that Gypsy's mom, Dee Dee, was accused or suspected of killing her mom, and Gypsy did the same thing?
Yeah.
Manifestation.
She went through with it, though.
Yeah. But she didn't kill.
Yeah, technically.
She had somebody else.
I mean, Nicholas technically did it. She just happened to be a little bit smarter to not do it herself.
Yeah.
You know, Dee Dee wasn't there. Dee Dee wasn't able to, like...
Do we know for sure that she didn't?
The only thing that makes me question the entire thing is her having sex with him right after the mom was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like...
But again, I feel like we're in this spot of which she was not... She didn't know any different. So, like, in reality, he could have had that, like... I mean,
wouldn't you be traumatized after knowing she was just stabbed
in the same
17
house.
Times? Like, you were so scared you had to cover your ears, but then your not scared to where you can have sex in the next room.
Yeah.
It's celebration just, sex that doesn't weird.
Well, make also, sense it's like highly erotic to like murder somebody and like.
Well, if he's into BDSM,
yeah.
It probably turns him on. Yeah. So like he probably then in turn that was like.
Sense. And they're into all that fantasy shit. She learned how to read from Harry Potter. You know, so yeah. It could have been like some like weird spell. You
lived
never know.
Out some weird thing. God,
seance.
Yeah.
Maybe they had sex with her blood all over her body.
Okay.
All I right. mean, you never know.
You don't
listen.
Know.
I mean, did
he
allegedly?
Go, that's, but that's the thing, though. He had to have been covered in blood. Did you go take
a shower like, after?
He clearly probably didn't. So they probably did have sex in her blood because that's 17 times, you guys. Like, imagine that mess.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They boned in her blood.
Yeah.
Mm. But like I said, did they know for sure she didn't do anything?
I think that comes into the trial point of all of this is like.
Ow.
Ow. Where did you leave off?
Okay. Moving on because this is
trial.
Deep.
Yeah. After seeing concerning Facebook statuses posted from Dee Dee's account, the Blanchard's friends suspected something was amiss. When phone calls went unanswered, several friends and neighbors went to the house. While the friends and neighbors knew that the two often left on medical trips unannounced, they saw Dee Dee's modified car still in the driveway, making an unannounced trip unlikely. Protective film on the windows made it hard to see inside in the low light. No one answered the door, so the friends called 911. When the police arrived, they had to wait for a search warrant to be issued before they could enter, but they allowed one of the neighbors present to climb through a window where he saw that inside of the house was largely undisturbed and that Gypsy's wheelchairs were all still present.
Oof. I'm Googling Gypsy's Facebook post because what did she post that was alarming?
Well, no,
Dee Dee. She posted
they were
from
posting
Dee
from Dee Dee's Facebook.
Oh, saying mm-hmm. what?
Because remember, she doesn't have a public Facebook at this
right,
point.
Right,
Dee Dee
right.
does.
But I wonder what they were saying for people to
that
think
would cause
that
it
was
to be alarming.
When the warrant was issued, police entered the house and found Dee Dee's body. A GoFundMe account was set up to pay for her funeral expenses and possibly Gypsy's. All who knew the Blanchards feared the worst. Even if Gypsy had not been harmed, they believed she would be helpless without her wheelchair, medications, and support equipment like the oxygen tanks and feeding tube.
So to answer you guys' question, the posts that were on Dee Dee's Facebook were the bitch is dead.
Well, that'll do it.
Okay, but that's still up, right? Has anyone, okay, so like when all of this, like when we were talking about Gypsy and like she got convicted and stuff, I went on a deep dive onto Facebook and I'm almost positive it stayed up for a good amount of time before it was deleted and that you could go on to Dee Dee's.
Let me see.
Because I did go on to Dee Dee's Facebook.
I don't
and
get.
And look through it.
Did you want to be caught then?
That's what I'm saying.
But
like,
do you think
I
it was
him?
I
feel like she might have had just a tiny bit more to do with this than what she's letting on.
Or...
Because how she would have had to have given him access to her mom's Facebook.
True.
You know, and to know that he's posting that, like, they're laughing about it, you know?
Well, I'm just like
where is her mind mentally? Is she celebrating? Like, I know Gypsy, everybody loves Gypsy right now, and this is not me knocking her at all. And I know that she portrays to be this really sweet girl, but her actions after her mom died does show somebody that has either... just fucking went completely AWOL and fucking batshit crazy because she's been abused for so long, or very manipulative and cunning almost.
I almost feel though, I mean, none of us have ever been in this situation.
Ever, yeah. So,
but had someone pulled my teeth out, shaved my head, starved me,
put a feeding
beat
tube down me,
okay, I'd stab a bitch too.
Yeah. Well, it makes you think though, because. Like, why not post it from her Facebook account? So I feel like maybe she wanted to disappear. So maybe if she put the bitch is dead, people would think Dee Dee killed her or did something to her. And so she was, like, gone. So she could live, like, under the radar.
Gotcha. Because it, she thought
really
she got away with it.
So I don't think she thought
and that's
that.
Why she was wearing the blonde wigs.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing damn well she's very noticeable.
Yeah.
I feel like she wasn't smart enough to maybe think it all
that
the way
through.
That
makes more sense because I'm sitting here trying to like rationalize.
Because I feel like
this.
They wouldn't tell on themselves if they were like thinking they got away with it, because you wouldn't get away with it saying that.
Yeah.
No.
So if they post that from her
that's
account, it maybe looks like she killed her daughter.
Yeah.
Also, on the flip side, when you're in an abusive relationship, and I've said this numerous times on the podcast, you get to a point where you're like, motherfucker, if you touch me one more time, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
When I was in my abusive relationship, I literally told him I bought a gun, and that if he ever touched me again, I was going to blow his fucking head off. And, then, and I meant it.
Yeah.
You know, and like, Gypsy's, I was going to do it.
20 years into this.
Yeah. Yeah. And so she might have just fucking, you know, had a, what do they call it? A split where you just fucking.
Yeah. That's why I'm like, did she really stay in the bathroom
or did she help? Yeah.
I mean,
we'll
If anyone did this to me, I will tell you wholeheartedly, I would have probably done that and worse.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, for sure. They should have just burned the whole house down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Woodman C., who was among those gathered on the Blanchard's lawn, told police that she knew about Gypsy and her secret boyfriend. She showed them the printouts she had saved, which included his name. Based on that information, police asked Facebook to trace the IP address from which the post to Dee Dee's account had been made. It turned out to be in Wisconsin. And the next day, police agencies in Waukesha County raided the Gojons' Big Bend home. Gojon and Gypsy surrendered and were taken into custody on charges of murder and felony armed criminal action.
So it is hard to tell who posted
Why
that.
Was the neighbor saving all of this?
Because she knew it was wrong.
Yeah.
She probably was doing it
to help Gypsy in case anything happened with Dee Dee.
Because she said that he was a predator.
And she thought that, and she thought that Gypsy was underage.
Okay.
Yeah. The news that Gypsy was safe was greeted with relief in Springfield, where she and Nicholas were soon extradited and held on a $1 million bond. But in announcing the news, Greene County Sheriff Jim warned things were not always what they appear. The media in Springfield soon reported the truth of the Blanchard's lives, that Gypsy had never been sick and had always been able to walk, and her mother had made her pretend otherwise using physical abuse to control her.
After the disclosure of how Dee Dee had treated Gypsy, sympathy for her as the victim of a violent murder rapidly shifted to her daughter as a long-term victim of child abuse. While the charge of first-degree murder can carry the death penalty under Missouri law or life without parole, County Prosecutor Dan Patterson announced he would not seek it for either Gypsy or Nicholas, calling the case extraordinary and unusual. After her attorney obtained her medical records from Louisiana, he secured a plea bargain to second-degree murder for Gypsy. Gypsy was so undernourished up to this point. During the year she was in the county jail, her lawyer told BuzzFeed that she had gained 14 pounds. In contrast to most of his clients who typically lose weight in that situation. In July of 2016, she accepted the plea bargain and was sentenced to 10 years in prison. Nicholas still faced the more severe charge because prosecutors contended that he initiated the murder plot, and he and Gypsy agreed that he was the one who killed Dee Dee. He was also more severely prosecuted due to different personal circumstances. Nicholas was granted less sympathy and understanding due to a lack of involvement in the abuse. Gypsy's plea bargain agreement did not require her to testify against him. In January of 2017, his trial was postponed when prosecutors requested a second psychiatric exam. His lawyers contend that he has an intelligence quotient of 82 and is on the autism spectrum, suggesting that he has diminished capacity. He initially waived his right to a trial by jury, but changed his mind in June of that year.
Bro. There had to have been some kind of evidence that proved the fact that he's the one that initiated this murder. If they're saying in court that that's how he was charged with this, that motherfucker convinced her to murder her mom.
Yeah. I don't know. I think maybe that, or he took the rap for her because he figured they were going to be like in love and get through this.
Like he did.
So she's like, I'm going to take immunity and fucking do a plea bargain and testify or snitch on you, allegedly. And you take the fall for this, but we're going to still be together. You know, like that's just me throwing ideas out there.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like he dead ass convinced her to, I mean, there had to have been some type of records. I would love to see the court, like the court documents on this case, mm-hmm. of the fact that like their conversations had to have been saved somewhere.
Documented, unless they like did over the phone.
Yeah, like text
but like
messages.
Oh, because they were talking on Facebook.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You can easily get that. Yeah.
So, and she destroyed her smartphone, so they weren't texting or right. anything like that. Like your conversations were being yeah. had on a computer. So there has to be proof. That really solid proof that this was his idea, that he chose to like seek out this plan.
In December 2017, the judge set Gojon's trial for November 2018. In their opening statement, prosecutors alleged that Gojon had deliberated for over a year before the crime. While his lawyers pointed to his autism and said that Gypsy had formulated the crime and their love-struck client had just done as she had asked. The next day, prosecutors showed jurors the text messages, sometimes sexually explicit, that Gypsy and Gojon shared in the week before the murder, often using various personas, as well as the knife he had used to commit the murder and some of the texts. He asked her for details about Dee Dee's room and sleeping habits. These were supplemented by video of his interview with police after his arrest where he had admitted to killing her.
That makes me feel a little different.
Yeah.
Because, like, this, if his attorney is, like, really trying to make sure that they understood that this was Gypsy mm-hmm. and he just played out her fantasy, then there's a possibility this was her. Idea.
I don't think we'll ever truly
know. No.
So wishwash. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Gypsy testified on the trial's third day. She said that while she had indeed suggested to Nicholas that he kill Dee Dee to end her mother's abuse, she also considered getting pregnant by him in hopes that once she was carrying Nicholas's child, Dee Dee would have to accept him. Along with the knife that she gave to Nicholas, she stole baby clothes from Walmart during a shopping trip so she could go ahead and plan either. However, she said Nicholas never told her what he thought about the pregnancy plan.
Just like her mom. Her mom was stealing too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bro.
It's a lot of characteristics.
So did she really end the cycle? I don't know.
Well, she's been in, you have to understand, she's also been in prison too, so she's probably done a lot of self-help stuff. She said she did get therapy while she was in prison, not as much as she wanted, but, you know, some. So, only time will tell.
I was going to say, we will only tell when she has a kid.
Mm-hmm. Well, that
they've discussed that so much too.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. I was going to say that or just as time goes on by her actions.
Yeah.
You'll see. It's very easy to get tripped up and, you know, things you say online.
In the world of social media, mm-hmm. and she is so involved in social media right now.
Mm-hmm. After 4 days, the case was sent to the jury. Jurors had the option of finding Nicholas guilty of one of three murder charges. Involuntary manslaughter, second degree or first degree murder, or not guilty of any of them. After approximately 2 hours deliberation, they returned with a verdict and Nicholas was found guilty of first degree murder and armed criminal action. In February 2019, he was sentenced to life in prison for the murder conviction, the only possible option since prosecutors had declined to seek the death penalty. Nicholas asked Judge David Jones for leniency on the armed criminal action charge, which carries a minimum sentence of only 3 years, saying that he had fallen blindly in love with Gypsy. He received a sentence of 25 years on that charge, which is concurrent with the life sentence.
Jones also denied a motion by Gojon's lawyer, Dwayne Perry, for a new trial. Perry argued that the jury should not have been allowed to hear that Gojon had considered raping Dee Dee on the night of the murder, and also argued that the state psychologist should not have been allowed to testify while Gojon's psychologist should have, to establish that he had diminished capacity. In denying the motion, Jones conceded that an appeals court could find the latter point significant and consider it a reversible error.
You were gonna do what?
That wasn't their first time having sex, though, right?
Raping Dee Dee, the mom.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. He said I was thinking rape her Gypsy the night that the she got time. Murdered. That's gross.
Ew.
I mean, so he's obviously got fucked up.
Do you think that
he's a few grapes short of
I feel like he would have done it after.
That's what I feel like.
Yeah.
I feel like, do you think he did?
Ooh, he... I feel like Dee Dee would put up a fight if she was alive.
I mean, she was a solid woman.
Huh?
Do you think that he fondled or did something after he murdered her?
Well, I mean, Gypsy wasn't in the room, so I don't think
we're ever going to know. And he was really into
BDSM. I feel like maybe he started and maybe stopped himself, and that's why they ended up
fucking in Gypsy's room.
Did I just solve the case?
I don't know. That's gross, man.
Like, that's disgusting.
You hate somebody that much, but you want to fuck them? Like, that's so weird.
That's
weird.
Do a deep dive on his childhood.
Yeah, that's literally really weird.
Oh, Gypsy Rose, man. She did express, like we had talked about before, that she feels like, I am more free in prison than living with my mom because now I'm allowed to just live like a normal woman. She says in 2018, Gypsy served her sentence in Missouri's correctional center and did not talk to the media until after she had made her plea. When she did, she told BuzzFeed reporter Michelle Dean that she had been able to research Munchausen syndrome by proxy, also known... Oh, I'm going to read that.
Facetious disorder imposed on another.
On prison computers, and her mom had every symptom. I think she would have been the perfect mom for someone that was actually sick. She said she believed Dee Dee's claim that she had cancer, even though she knew that she could walk and eat solid food, leading her to ascend to the regular head shavings. She always hoped that doctors would see through the ruse, and she was frustrated that none besides Lasternstein did.
I feel like she probably wanted to tell the doctors every time, but life
at home would be hell if she
did. I know, that's why I said she was probably too scared.
She also mentioned how often when they were in public that Dee Dee would just hold her hand.
Yeah, so if she tried to say something, she would squeeze it.
Yeah, really. That just tells me she probably never left her side in public.
When Dean asked her what made her want to escape her situation, Gypsy recalled the 2011 incident at the science fiction convention, which made her wonder why she was not allowed to have friends like others her age. While she said that Nicholas took their idle discussions of murder into reality, she accepts that she committed a crime and has to live with the consequences. Nonetheless, she has said that she hopes to help other abused victims.
Mm-hmm. Victims of Munchausen by proxy abuse often avoid doctors and hospitals in their later lives because of lingering trust issues. According to her family, Dean and Aaron Lee Carr, a documentarian, Gypsy also exhibits at times the same sociopathic, manipulative behaviors as her mother, who was, for much of her life, her only role model. She is already psychologically really compromised, and she's going to need as much family and underpinning and support as she can get, Friedman told Vulture after viewing Carr's documentary, Mommy Dead and Dearest, in which he appears. He also points out that the post-traumatic stress disorder is likely to be an issue in her continuing development. I hope they find someone wherever she chooses to settle who is willing to provide supportive psychotherapy. And then, of course, on September 29th, 2023, the Missouri Department of Corrections confirmed that Gypsy had been granted parole, and she was released on December 28th, 2023, after serving 85% of her sentence per state law.
And June 27th, 2022, she married Ryan Scott Anderson. Oh, I want to know how she met him.
Online.
Okay, I'll tell you. All right, I love this part. Wait. So Ryan had a bet with a friend at work that the friend at work was going to write another, like, popular inmate. And he said, well, if you write that person, I'll write Gypsy Rose.
So he already knew her.
He was already fascinated with her prior. He had already done research about her. He was a teacher of special... He is a teacher, but he did prior to that work with children of special needs. So her case, like... sparked interest within him because he was already working within the special needs. And then in turn, he now is a teacher, but they developed a relationship after that. She was talking to other people. She has been previously engaged prior to him. Hmm. Yes, she was previously engaged prior to Ryan, and that didn't work out. And when she met Ryan, it took a little bit, but then they began talking a little more frequently, and she really liked the way that they talked. And then after a little while, he went and met her, and their relationship started from there.
She said she liked him because he was from Louisiana. Hmm. What?
Yeah, this is weird.
That's it?
That's it.
It's the only reason?
Yeah.
Well, and good dick. We know that.
Yeah, oh, God. Yeah, I don't want to... to each their own. Yeah,
makes me feel uncomfy. Yeah. I didn't know that he's not that much older than her. He does appear to look older. I can't
Somebody
tell.
Said he looks like her mom.
He does.
Have you seen the side by side? There is very close similarities of him and her mom.
Well, you got to understand, that girl's been through some shit. She's not going to have normal... And this is not me being rude. I'm just saying, like, because of all the shit she's been through, I know she's used to always being with somebody because she was strapped to her mom for so long. But now that she has freedom and, like, you know, can move about the cabin as a free woman, I don't know if she's going to want to be locked down in a marriage.
It was very surprising that she chose something like that so quickly.
Yeah.
And didn't even get to come out and experience real life and just... live.
Go be one of the girls.
Without being, without already being so locked down.
Well, maybe she's just so used to being manipulated that he could have maybe done the same thing to her. So she's just like, that's all she knows, kind of.
I feel like he doesn't talk a lot. So I think that's a good thing.
I watched him in part of the interview. It's very, very short. She seems very obsessed with him.
Yeah.
You know, I'm watching this and like mid-interview, she just reaches over and like kisses on him and stuff. And she hasn't found her new obsession. Mm-hmm. And, you know, seeing how her mom was and her mom's obsession with things doesn't surprise me. And even the psychologist saying, like, she does show similar behaviors as her mom. Who knows?
Yeah, I guess we'll just have to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I really enjoyed this deep dive. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever it is, Gypsy, live your fucking life, baby.
Go be you.
Starting OnlyFans, fucking go.
I'm ready. I was going to leave that.
Bust it wide open.
I was going to leave that as a comment under her thing, but I didn't want to get attacked. I was going to be like, Gypsy, we need the OF pronto.
Like,
let's go. She'll make so much money.
Bro.
She'll be like,
she would probably
set for life. Yeah. She'd probably make $50 million.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah, because people are obsessed with her right now. Yeah. She can't even make one video on TikTok without getting like 50 million views.
Oh, the likes on her first selfie that she posted.
6.5 million.
6.5
million. I don't think anybody's ever got that many likes on
There's
a fucking...
There's no way.
Even the like Kylie Jenner, any of them. I don't think any of them have gotten likes that high.
And I don't know why. I always thought she was in jail for much longer than she actually was. But I mean, she's been in there since 2016.
Yeah.
That's actually not that long, if you think about
it. That's only like, 7 years.
Yeah. That's kind of wild.
Well, like, she got granted early.
Yeah, early, release, of course. Right? But, yeah. I mean, she went in when things were... I mean, what'd you miss? COVID?
Yeah.
Yeah. Still, she did miss a lot, though.
I mean, like, from 2016 to 2023.
But, I mean, they have tablets and stuff in jail. I don't feel like she missed that much.
Yeah.
They're very connected with the world. It's not like it used to be where it's you're literally...
I find TikTok lives of guys in prison all the time.
Love it. Those are my favorite lives.
Right? I already know. When it looks like someone's recording with a calculator, I'm like, they're in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a Nokia.
Recording with a calculator.
Well, I love you guys. Thanks for going down this wormhole with the
deep dive.
Me. Yeah, I love that. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Dumb Blonde. I'll see you guys next week. Bye.